And we're talking Tuesday today because we've switched days and no longer Fridays, it's Tuesday, Sal.
Good alliteration, talking travel on Tuesdays.
I like it. I like it. It could be our new slogan.
Yeah, it feels strange, I must admit. It does feel strange, but I guess I'll get used to it.
I think everyone will get used to it. You know,
yes,
give us
a few
weeks and
we'll settle in.
It'll be like Friday never happened. So,
oh dear.
Where are we going today?
Okay, today I just thought, having been there some years ago now, but I was just reading up on it, and it's that wonderful, great migration in Africa of the wildebeest and the zebras. So I thought and other herbivores across. So I thought we'd go through that as a really, David Attenborough again says it's just one of those, you know, magnificent sort of natural events that happens on our planet. So we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Australia, of course, because there's nothing wrong with our own country. A little bit of top-end stuff, including a commemorative service for the Darwin bombing coming up, and just some other little destinations that you may not have thought to include in your Australian itinerary.
The African migration first?
We certainly are. Migration. One of the world's most remarkable events, and it is a sight to behold, and I've been lucky enough to have witnessed it myself. So if you're thinking of going to East Africa, this, you know, try and go when this is happening. And I'll just explain about what happens and so on, if that's okay. So it's the annual migration of wildebeest, zebras and other herbivores across East Africa, which takes place in both Tanzania and Kenya. So you've got to think of it as a continuous journey, and it does start and finish at quite a few months of the year, but the busiest time when it's the most popular, again, we were just talking off air about going to places when it's their busiest, it's best not to if you can, but July, August is when it's at its peak, put it that way. So they actually are chasing food, basically, where they've run out in the northern areas. So they're travelling across through the southern Serengeti and the Western Corridor and up to the Masai Mara. It's a distance of around 2,000 kilometres they go, which is quite amazing. And when you take photos, all you can see as far as your eye can see is this line of animals, as far as the eye can
see. That's amazing. And I complain about walking up the street. So, you know.
Exactly right. pardon me. So the actual route of the Great Migration, it has seasons, put it that way. So December to March, it's what they call,
Just amuse yourselves.
Amuse yourselves for a few minutes. I do apologise for that. So it begins in the southern part of Tanzania, Serengeti, from December to March. Sorry about this. And the animals will find these short grassy plains where the low vegetation offers better visibility to spot predators.
Would you like me to go to a song so you can, like, recover?
I think I'll get there. In the short span of a time, anyway, approximately 4 to 6 weeks, you get several hundred thousand wildebeest and their zebra calves that will be born. And this also increases the hunt from the predators like lions, as you can understand, because once they've got the babies. So in spotting newborn calves, you know, you might not want to go at that time of the year if you don't want to see a little baby lion. A baby, rather, zebra or wildebeest being attacked by a lion. But they're less busy, of course, and less tourists and so on as well. It's like a dirt highway. Like most of a lot of this is dirt roads, so it's quite dusty, it's bumpy. So if you've got back issues, if you've got health issues, like, just be prepared with East Africa. Mostly everything is tarred in the roads of South Africa. Sealed roads are everywhere through their national parks, but not so in East. They're not as economically, you know, able to do that because it's a much bigger, vaster area. So you find that is a little bit of a concern for some people. So just keep that in mind, that you do need a relatively good level of fitness and good health. Anyhow, once the rainy season is over, they have this April to June, what they call southern migration, and then the herds start to move northwest as well. But July to November, this is when they do the river crossings, and this is why it's spectacular, because they have to gauge their run because the rivers are full of crocodiles.
Right.
So it's amazing, and some of them make it, or most, but some don't, obviously. But that's what happens. So if you're in an area where there is a river and you're lucky enough to see that, it's amazing just seeing them just flying across the river trying to get to that other side so quickly. And in October, November, they start migrating back again to come back So it's just this one of these incredible things that if you've never experienced it and East Africa is on your list, it is just a fascinating thing to, you know, be aware of and to take part in. And the whole Rift Valley, I mean, it's just incredible that how long this Rift Valley is that goes through all these East African countries. Like, I forget off the top of my head how many thousand kilometres it is, the valley, but it's just, again, one of those incredible natural phenomenons of the world as well, forgetting the animals.
Yeah.
So it's just the Ngorongoro crater, you know, just amazing. So, and you've got Lake Nakuru, which has got all your pink flamingos and thousands of, you know, flamingos. So everywhere you go, there's a spectacle.
It's beautiful. It'd be like a David Attenborough documentary, pretty much.
Virtually is. And as I said, he just considers it one of the greatest spectacles of nature. So it is really something that if it is on your bucket list, it's certainly worthwhile doing. It really is. As I said, it's not quite as developed, these countries, as South Africa, but they are getting there bit by bit. A lot of other countries are helping and coming in and helping them build better roads and so on to try and, you know, make the journey a bit easier, which is great. But there are some dirt roads. You're in quite remote areas, you know, so just, again, you need the good health because you're not near major towns a lot of the time either. So just, yeah, consider that when you're planning this sort of a trip.
And have good travel insurance.
Absolutely, definitely. Well, we always say that, don't we?
We do.
You just need that. That goes without saying. Have the best travel insurance you can get. Always check out, like, depending on where you're going, style of holiday, the travel insurance you need could change and one company could be better than another depending on the style of travel you're doing. So research it really quite well, and that's where your travel agent will help you as well, because, you know, they've got all the different insurance companies that they're affiliated with that they can offer you the best, you know, deal for whatever holiday you're planning.
Newcastle and the Hunters 2 and URFM 103.7. This is Talking Travel on a Tuesday, and we are talking Top End.
Top End is to start with, and I don't think I'll cough this time. I do apologise for the first segment. I'm just going to mention the Top End briefly here today because the bombing of Darwin Day commemorative service is coming up. And, you know, we forget about that sometimes. We celebrate Anzac Day and all sorts of other things, but I think it's good to remember that this happened to us on our shores back in 1942, and we had more devastation happen in Darwin than happened in Pearl Harbor. But Pearl Harbor always gets, you know, noted, and the movies are made about Pearl Harbor, but we suffered more here and lost more life as well. So it's just every year, I guess, they commemorate it there. But maybe if you're up there, you might like to go to a service. It's on the 19th of February, if you happen to be up that way on the 19th of February. But even just to have maybe a minute or two silence yourself on that day here, just to you know, think about it, and that hundreds of servicemen and civilians were left dead, countless were injured, you know, and the bombing of Darwin played an important role in our World War II and military history. And you can go there out to East Point and go to the Military Museum, which is really wonderful if you're in Darwin to go and do that. So just keep that in mind. And the other place, which I've mentioned before, of course, is the art gallery, which is combined Indigenous and, you know, a modern art combined in one big gallery. It's a beautiful gallery, got a little cafe attached, overlooking the ocean, beautiful park area. And that's where you can also go to the Cyclone Tracy room and hear what happened on that night. There was a minister who had it's an old tape that he recorded the noise, and the noise it sent, I've got goosebumps now thinking about it, but you just can hear the corrugated iron scraping and the glass and the noise of the wind. It's just an amazing thing that they went through, and that almost devastated Darwin as well. So it's come a long way since both the war and since the Cyclone Tracy. So just keep that in mind if you've not been up to Darwin. And also you can do some incredible Aboriginal cultures tours up there as well. If you look at northernterritory.com, it's a great website if you're planning on going up there. And there's lots of itineraries. They give you some suggested 7-day itineraries if you want to do it on your own with a hire car, etc. Go across to the Tiwi Islands. You can get a ferry. Go to the galleries. I said go to East Point Museum. There's a lot to do. Down to Litchfield National Park, the Territory Wildlife Park. Obviously, Kakadu, Norlangi Rock is wonderful there. Sunset Ubir Rock. The wetlands is fabulous, doing the cruise on Yellow Waters. There's a lot to see and do up in Darwin if you haven't reached that part of the world of our world in Australia yet. And I was just going to talk about, it was in the paper the other day, they called them fleeting moments of pure magic, where you have a travel spectacle that doesn't last long, but the memory stays with you forever.
Sort of like the Aurora Borealis or something like that.
Yes, like that, or even just the wet season in Kakadu when you see all the waterfalls pumping and all that was once dry now, all these billabongs are full of all lotus flowers and lilies, and it's, you know, it just sticks in your mind, you know, your kaleidoscope, as you say, of your sky, which we can see in Tasmania and southern Australia and even here recently. So you don't even have to go to the Arctic anymore. You can you can see it down here. And even in Tassie, they've got what they call sea sparkles, where they get that bioluminescent plankton that sparkles in the water. There's various parts of the world where you can get to see that, and you go down at night and suddenly all the ocean is just sparkling.
Wow.
With this incredible...
Haven't heard of that.
Yeah. And that's on the South Arm Peninsula, about 10 minutes from Hobart. So the wildflowers of Western Australia, of course, that's another one. You get tulips in Western Tasmania. The tulips there. Everyone thinks it's Holland's full of tulips. You should see Tasmania when the tulips are in bloom. Oh, my God, it is just absolute. All the hills are just an explosion of colour all up around that top northern part of Tasmania. So keep that in mind as well. So there's all sorts of things like that you can do. You can go, Lake Eyre. That's another spectacle when you go when that's full. You have all the bird life coming in, you know, so that's just something amazing as well. The spawning of the coral, which you can see on a full moon every November around the Great Barrier Reef. And that's amazing when all that happens. I've only ever seen videos of it. And some of these things are just amazing, like the natural phenomenons that we can see if you're there at the right time in the right place. You can Google any of these and they'll tell you, of course, the right time to visit, and so you can see that. And, of course, the whale migration, how lucky are we with that?
We are very lucky.
And we see that here, and, of course, you see it on the west coast of Australia as well, and even on the Nullarbor where they take and nurse the babies down off the bight. We just saw mums and their calves just being taught. And we stayed there for, I don't know how long we stayed there for. We just couldn't bear to take ourselves away from just watching what was going on. And it was just right there in front of us. It was just spectacular. So there's so much you can do in our own country of Oz, even if you don't feel like doing an overseas holiday this year. There's plenty to do right in your own backyard.
Well, I'm writing a few of those things down because I haven't heard of coral spawning
and sea sparkles, bioluminescent plankton.
That's
and
right.
Look all of
out.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my ideas now flowing for the next few holidays.
For your
holidays.
Next little Aussie holidays.
That's right. That's right.
Because you like planning your Aussie holidays.
I do. I do. I think it's a good idea to get around Australia and see as much of it as we can and support the locals.
Yeah. Well, I'm popping down to Tassie for a few days on Thursday.
Wonderful. Yeah. You're going to have a wonderful time.
I will.
So in URFM, this is Talking Travel with Sally Lucas, and we're going to talk hot deals.
We are, and I thought I'd throw one in initially of Kenya and Tanzania, seeing we've spoken about that wonderful migration today. There's a lovely 21-day tour that operates from May to October, and you're really going to see absolutely everything that I've talked about and more. Even though going into meeting some of the Masai Mara people and going to a women's centre and getting to see everything that I talked about. You see the hippos, and I laughed so much when we were there. There was a whole, what they call a group of hippos, I don't know what they're called, but anyhow, it was a mob, a crowd, a group, and they all decided they wanted to go into this water hole. So they've got it worked out. They've made themselves like a slippery side, like up the top, and one by one they're just going, zoom, zoom. And I got these photos of these hippos all just, it was so funny. You get to see so many things. And I forget which bird it was. We'd stopped to have lunch in the Ngorongoro crater. Careful of the birds. They come and take your lunch out of your hand.
Really?
Oh, my God. I can't think what they were now. Big birds, though. Mm. So you just had to put your head up or, you know, hide your lunch. It was gone. Anyway, that's a lovely itinerary if you're thinking of doing that for next year, so, or even this year or next year. But, yes, these are departures May this year, but they will be available again next year as well. Another one up your alley, England, Scotland and Wales.
Ooh.
Now, this is it's a nice long tour, 23 days, and both these packages I like because they include the airfares, so you're not looking to have to fight to buy an airfare that fits with the tour. And getting to East Africa isn't the easiest place to get to airfare-wise because there's no direct flights. So it's good that that's all taken care of. So this is an incredible tour as well because you're going into Cornwall, of course, the stunning coast there, to the majestic peaks of Snowdonia and the Brecon Beacons in Wales. And, of course, you're doing England and other parts of England and Scotland and national parks, the Lake District. There's even a nostalgic steam ride included on it, a sail on Lake Windermere, England's largest natural lake. You do a scenic drive through the Trossachs National Park. You go to the Devil's Bridge as well, which is in Wales. You do Liverpool's famous sites on a Beatles tour. You go to Wensleydale Creamery to taste iconic cheese that was a favourite of the famous characters Wallace and Gromit. They loved their Wensleydale cheese. Oh, dear, that was a funny show, was it not?
It was.
But there's lots of inclusions in this, stacks of sightseeing. And the good thing with both these itineraries I've mentioned as with Bunnings is that they include everything, even tipping. So it's really, an incredible way to travel. It's just an upfront cost and you're done. Now, back to our own country. We were talking about that today as well. Travel Marvel has got a sale that ends on the 17th of February. And there's savings there, depending on the duration of the tours. Their tours starting anything from a five-day Murray River up to, like, the wonders of the Kimberley by four-wheel drive of 12 days. And the savings go up to as much as $3,000 per couple on that Wonders of Kimberley. So, and they start from about a saving of $1,100 per couple. But that sale does end 17 of February. HX Expeditions, or the old Hurtigruten as we've called it now, it's HX, they've got a sale of up to $6,000 per person off and a $400 per person onboard credit to use as well for a limited time on a range of their all-inclusive expeditions to Alaska, Antarctica, Galapagos, Greenland, Iceland, the Northwest Passage and Arctic Canada, Norway and Svalbard. But yes, get in early. It's just subject to availability, as long as technically through to March, but subject to availability, but technically through to the 23rd of March. And also there's savings with Trafalgar. They've got the Best of the Danube. Now, this is for 27 as well as 26. They give you a free two-night Prague extension on 26 sailings or a free cabin upgrade from Classic to Deluxe on 27 sailings. That ends 27 Feb. And Viking, as usual, also has fly-free and flight upgrades available and save up to $5,000 per couple on a whole range of their river and ocean cruises. So there's still lots out there to be had to start the year. So, grab a bargain while you can.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more next week. From you, from Barry.
Barry next week,
So you enjoy your trip to Tasmania.
I will.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Thank you. This is Talking Travel to NURFM.